Okay, let me say that again. Okay, everyone, good to see you again for
Hello,
the
Jamie.
third time. Hello. Well, here we are. We crossed the Jordan, something we've been waiting for a while, and we thought it would end up in celebration and joy, but it ended up in circumcision and pain. But we know that after every painful season, after every tearful season, comes more joy. And the Lord speaks to Joshua as Joshua's looking at that city. And the first thing we see is that the Joshua goes to the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord is no one but Jesus himself coming to talk to him. And in chapter six, it's the chapter of victory. It's a chapter of great things that are about to happen. The first thing we see in chapter six, it says, now the gates of Jericho was securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in and or out, And this is a picture of those great seasons that God is about to break through in your life and in our life. But the start of that break season is a closed door. The start of that breakthrough season is something that looks like this is impossible. The doors are closed. The walls are high. There is no in or out. And something that Pastor Mike said that like really resonated with me all week long last week. He said, sometimes when we're going around the walls, we're trying to find openings ourselves. When we see that the doors are closed and the doors are shut on purpose by God, we try to find ways around it. That sat with me all week long. I thought of it honestly many, many times because that's me. That's my story. I try to often to try to help God. Look, God, if we dig through this or if we can find this, but God has a purpose, So God has that revelation, that one-on-one with Joshua. And I pray that you and I would have that moment. That moment where God really reveals himself to us, where God reveals his purpose to us, when we see God in the middle of our challenging seasons. If circumcision was facing the flesh and defeating the flesh, the walls of Jericho is facing the world and defeating the world. And we saw that one of the first blessings of the revelation is that we see what God sees. The angel of the Lord looks at Joshua and says, see, I have given you this city. I'm looking. All I'm seeing is our shut doors and very, very strong and high walls. But no, we're not talking about what you and I see with our physical human eye. We're talking about what we see with God's eye. Because the angel of the Lord is standing and he's seeing a replay. The replay of, oh, I already gave Jericho. I already saw the walls coming down. I already saw victory. And he's trying to communicate that to Joshua. And this is what the Lord is trying to communicate to every single one of us. I'm telling you this today, and let me tell you, many times I fall into trying to see things with my own human eyes and not seeing and not listening what God is saying, see, I have given you this. See, I have delivered this. We talked about not only that, but we talked about that revelation without obedience is nothing. So God tells Joshua the plan. You're going to march around the city. You're going to, have the Ark of Covenant. You're going to do this and this and this and this. And Joshua, I can take that and say, yes, Lord, I'm on it right away. Or I'm like, oh, that was such a wonderful, encouraging, great message. What a great preacher that was. I had such a great encounter with the Lord, and I went up and I was prayed for and I had tears in my eyes. And then I left church, or I left the meeting, or I left that, time with the Lord, doing exactly what I usually do. Now, revelation is great, but when the obedience follows the revelation, that's what makes it change life-changing. That's what where the breakthrough comes in. Today we're gonna start chapter. We're gonna take a few verses of chapter six. And we'll start.
Our hope is to finish up the wall of Jericho today. I think
No
we
promises.
will. I think we will.
No promises.
Anyway, but we're going to start with at verse 8. Okay, we'll read all the way till the end there together. So it says, after Joshua had spoken to the people, seven priests carrying seven ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the horns, and the Ark of the Covenant followed them. While the horns continued to sound, the armed troops marched ahead of the priests who blew the horns, and the rear guard followed the Ark. But Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a battle cry or let your voice be heard. Do not let one word come out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you are to shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it. And the people returned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early in the morning, and the priest took the Ark of the Lord, and the seven priests carrying the seven ram's horns kept marching ahead of the Ark of the Lord and blowing the horns. The armed troops went in front of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the horns kept sounding. On the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at dawn, marched around the city seven times in the same manner. That was the only day they circled the city seven times. After the seventh time, the priest blew the horns and Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city and everything in it must be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and those in her house will live, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the things devoted to destruction, lest you yourself be set apart for destruction. If you take any of these, you will set apart the camp of Israel for destruction and bring disaster upon it. For all the silver and the gold and all the articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They must go into his treasury. So when the ram's horn sounded, the people shouted. And when they heard the blast of the horn, the people gave a great shout and the wall collapsed. Then all the people charged straight into the city and captured it. And at the edge of the sword, they devoted to destruction everything in the city, man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, and donkeys. Meanwhile, Joshua told the two men who had spied out the land, he said, go into the house of the prostitute and bring out the woman and all who are with her, just as you promised her. So the young spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her whole family and settled them outside the camp of Israel. Then Israel burned up the city and everything in it. However, they put the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord, and Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her father's household and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent out to spy Jericho. So she has lived among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua invoked this solemn oath. Cursed before the Lord is the man who rises up and rebuilds this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn, he will lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Amen. I know that was a long section, but it's you have to tell the story as a whole, really. In order to see the context that where it was happening. And one of the first things we see in this story, starting at verse 8, is the setup, right? How they're going to walk around this wall. And it's a very interesting setup. And we're going to talk about sort of how incredibly unconventional it was. They're staring, remember, at these giant walls, four stories high, 10 feet thick, and about half a mile in circumference around. We talked about that last week. And these walls are the very thing that are keeping them from the promise. And as they're doing this, what an incredible task is before them to like try to figure out how to get across these walls. But they knew that God had a plan, and God had a plan through Joshua. But the plan was unusual. It was an unusual plan. He said, soldiers in the front, then the priests with their horns, the seven priests with the seven horns, then the Ark of the Covenant, right? With the Ark of the Covenant, then more soldiers behind them. At the very center of that is the Lord, the image of God in the Ark of the Covenant. It is not just the Lord, it's the very tangible presence of the Lord at the very center of this. This is how God designed the battle to be won, with him at the center. We've been, Asam and I have been reading a great book. It's like a marriage book. It's called Vertical. If you have a chance, read it. It's just this incredible, like it's one of those books I wish I had read when we first got married, you know, like it would be nice to have it. But Vertical, at the core of this book, is this understanding that the horizontal is never right until the vertical is in place, until your relationship with the Lord, your personal relationship with the Lord is made right. Nothing else here on this earth is going to be made right. And so this is what this is speaking to, that at the very core of their battle, at the very core of what they're doing, at the center of what they're doing, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord must be a part of it.
Amen. And, you know, one of the things I noticed right away in verse 8 was after Joshua spoke, changes happened. You know, I'm like, why can't that happen when I speak? Isn't that like, I'm so jealous. Like, why cannot that happen? Like, why isn't that happening when I'm spoken to, you know? And it's just, this is like, it really is a powerful picture for people who are desperate for God. You know, like we're here, Lord, we have nowhere else to go. Whatever you tell us, we're going to do it. Okay. Egypt is gone. Wilderness is gone. We crossed the Jordan. Now we are at a place where whatever it is that you say, we're going to do it. You know, this wasn't Joshua's powerful words. You know, this was nothing. You know, we hear amazing messages all day long, but presence of God that convicts these hearts, and the hearts that are also that are so focused and ready. You know, you just crossed the Jordan, go circumcise yourself. Yes, Lord, we'll do it. And Pastor Al spoke about this on Sunday. You bring the knife and say, here, go ahead, do it. I'm like, that's not fun. You know, Lord, you know, go ahead and walk around the city 7 times or 6 days, you know, once a day and then 7 times the last day. That's not war. That's not fighting. That's not how you lead a battle. No, you know what? God said it. I'm going to do exactly what it says. May God bring us to this place that we are so desperate for him, that we surrendered everything. We surrender our thoughts, our methods, our experiences, or what we think how a war should be won, how a war should be fought, and just give it exactly to the Lord, however he says it is. There is absolutely nothing usual about this formation. You know, usually in war back in the days, they would have the soldiers up front with the big shields because they're worried about the ones with the arrow, you know, from the enemy that has the arrow. So they have all these shields around them as they're advancing. Right here, where are the shields? There are no shields. You know what? There is a higher shield that they're all looking at, you know, that says that he is our what? He is our shield. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. Not only that, but not only the formation was different, but the tools that were using, that were being used for war are completely different. As we discussed last week, the horn that they were using, the horn of Jubilee, this is the horn of praise and the horn of freedom, the horn of joy. This is not the horn of war, okay? Not only that, but they have the Ark of Covenant in the middle of their walking. I'm like, what is that doing here? Why don't you have some, you know, arrows, some archers? Why don't you have some horses, some like war-like tools, you know, that are really used for war? But no, you know, our tool in this fight is not the sword. It's not the shield. It's our obedience. It's our desperation to do what God has told us. Listen, a lot of times, and I say this to myself before I say it to you, a lot of times I look at the things that I have in my hand. I look at my power and my strength, where all what God is trying to find in me is obedience. All he's trying to find in me is trust in him, that I would give up the things that I used or I have used to use and just give it up to him. Not only that, but also the personnel of this war or of this battle is completely different. What are these priests doing in the middle of this marsh? The priests should not be there. They don't have a place in that place. Well, you know what? It's not, again, it's not about the priests, it's not about the fighters, it's not about the warriors. It's about God's presence, as Dina just said, that the Lord was in the middle of this formation. You know, a lot of times we fight certain fights, we go through battles where we're looking, Lord, we need help here. Lord, where are you? And God is like, I am here. I am already in battle. I'm already fighting. You're just missing me. Because in your fighting, you're looking for the horses, you're looking for the shields, you're looking for the archers, you're looking for the warriors, you're looking for all of that. While all I might be asking for this specific battle, some obedience, some humility, some surrendering, some just, tender hearts. That's sometimes what I'm looking for. This was a completely different battle, different formation, different tools, different personnel. Do not be surprised if God is trying to deliver you. If God is trying to give you this battle, this specific battle that you're in right now through something that you have never expected or have seen before, you know, and this also tells me that God has different ways of winning battles. You know, one time he can ask Moses to strike the water and the water will split wide open. One time he will ask Gideon to send all of his warriors back home and keep only 300. And they did not even raise a sword. They would just use some candles and some jars, and that's how they won the war. Sometimes they would use different things. God has different ways. Listen to this, and I'm trying to listen to this as well. Okay? Do not look at the experience you had from yesterday's battle. Okay? Because a lot of times we take that experience and say, oh, well, I won this yesterday. Let me do it again today. You know, experiencing the Lord is great. Experiencing the Lord and remembering what he's done is great. That's wonderful. We should remind ourselves. We should remind ourselves how he helped us to split the seas and how he's been faithful. That's a great reminder. But that shouldn't be the tool where we lead our new battle. Our tool should be trusting in God and having our ears and eyes open to him, to what he has for us next. And the one final thought that I have here, if you look at this this whole part of the of these verses, you will see the word the Lord all capitalized. You see that? In the Bible, I'm going to give you this little study that you're going to do at home for your homework, that you will see Lord, L-O-R-D, just all small, and then you'll see the Lord, L-capital O-R-D, small, and then you'll see the Lord here, L capital O R D, all capital. And this is the Lord when he is manifesting himself to the Israelites, when he is manifesting himself to us. This is the Lord that's in action, that is Jehovah, that is Yahweh, the Lord who is revealing himself to us and to the Israelites. Through this whole thing, you might not see the tools for war. You might not see the warriors. You might not see the horses. You might not see the shields. You might not see all these tools. But the Lord is being manifested in this battle. The Lord is being all over the place, that he was so tangible that you would see him, that you would experience him, that you would feel his presence everywhere. The Lord is capitalized in this battle. My prayer for you and me today, that the Lord would be capitalized in our lives. And this is a metaphor, obviously. The Lord would be capitalized in what we're going through right now. If the Lord is capitalized if the Lord is manifested, if the Lord is revealed, is if the Lord is being with you and you're feeling his presence and it's so tangible, no tools, no personnel, no formation, no walls, no doors will matter to you because the Lord is at his right place.
Amen. Then Joshua gives an unusual order in verse 10. He says to them, nothing. I don't want to hear a word. I don't want to hear a peep. I'm paraphrasing, of course. I don't want to hear a peep come out of you. Nothing. No cries, no shouts. Stay silent, he says, as he circles. I just found that so strange, that you are in a state of preparing for obviously something that God's going to do. I mean, he knew what was going to happen, that God would miraculously bring down those walls. And what he tells people to do is stay silent. And this is war in silence, as I call it. And that is really something that I've personally experienced in my life, where I feel like there's something I'm supposed to do here. There's something I have to have a part of this, and somehow, like, tell me what to do, Lord, tell me what to do here. And what God wants me to do is just be still and experience him. Be still and know that I am God.
That's really good.
That's what he wanted the people of Israel to do. And also, let me just say, this story is so vivid that I could almost be transported into that moment. Can't you? This almost an eerie feeling of these people walking around in circles around the city, totally silent, nothing but those horns blowing. The whole time they're going around. I mean, I don't know about you, but if the enemy was watching this, I mean, at first I'd be like, they're crazy, you know, they're crazy. But then I think, what's going on? There's clearly a plan here. There's clearly something going on. Let it be that we can sit in silence, that we can war in silence, confident of what God's doing through it.
You know, God teaches us that there's timing for everything. There's timing to work. There's timing to war. There's timing to fight. There's timing to rest. There's timing for everything. Patience here is the key. You know, these people are charged. They're ready. You know, they've been lost in the wilderness. God is like, they saw the fruit of the land. They're ready to take it, just like you and I are ready to take it, right? But sometimes before we go to that level, sometimes we have to be on our knees, humbled and quieting, and our hearts are quiet before God. No big words, nothing big, just a quiet time. Tell you guys a story, true story. When I was doing CrossFit at the gym, of course, I have to bring up CrossFit. It wouldn't be Bible study or it wouldn't be a pastor, you know? And Pastor Al loves it. You know, look at the smile on his face. He loves it when I talk about CrossFit. Wow. So I'm there. There's a part of the workout called a skill, you know? A skill is when you try to get to the heaviest weight you can carry, right? So we do 5 tries, right? So you would do, like, let's say back squat. You do 2 to 3 back squats at the heaviest weights, and you're supposed to rest for 2 minutes, at least 1 to 2 minutes before you try your next weight, okay? My problem is I don't know what to do in those 2 minutes. That is too long of a time for me to just stand still. I'm not kidding, okay? I would be, because that's the first part. The second part of the workouts, usually it's that fast circuit, okay, where you're doing things as fast as possible. And that's where I excel. That's what I really enjoy the most. No breaks, just keep going, 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 going. So going back to the first part, you're supposed to try like a bench press or back squat, whatever it is. And then you rest, you let your body rest because you're trying to go to a heavier weight, right? You let your body rest for a minute or two, depending on how much weight you have, and then before you do the other one. I didn't like that, because what am I going to do for 2 minutes? So I would do my set, and then I would sit down and start doing some sit-ups, or grab some dumbbells and do like something else. And the coach was like, wait, what are you doing? I'm like, it's 2 minutes. I'm working something completely different. If I'm doing back squats, I'm doing like, you know, biceps curls or something like that, or I'm doing some sit-ups. He was like, the idea is to rest and recover. The idea is to let your body rest and recover. In those 2 minutes, you need to sit down or just stand up and do absolutely nothing. And it was so weird to me to be in the gym, to have my gloves on, to have my beanie, to have my, you know, my CrossFit face on, and just standing around for 2 minutes. It was the longest 2 minutes that I can remember when I'm in the gym. I'm not used to being quiet. I'm not used to being silent. I'm not used to being active, because at the gym, I get my value or I get my praises by being the fastest person, the most aggressive person. And at war, we do the same thing. Our value is to be the loudest, to be the baddest, to be the strongest, to be the ones that are most vicious. Our value when as soldiers doesn't come from just being quiet. But this is a different war. I hope I delivered my point using CrossFit without, you know, talking about CrossFit so much. CrossFit. So sometimes that silent is our battle. It's a battle within the battle. That waiting on God, that waitingly patient on the moment when God says, all right, it's your time. It's time to get up. It's time to take, you know, the field. It's time to go do what you're supposed to do. Patience is so, so important in our battles, because we let ourselves wait on God, wait on his direction, wait for his moment, trusting, convincing ourselves and convincing each other that God has the perfect timing. Convincing ourselves that I'm obeying God. I'm only moving when he tells me to move. I'm going to recover. I'm going to gain my strength. I'm going to gain my vision. I'm going to gain my revelation. I'm going to repeat the word of God. I'm going to feed myself over and over on the word of God. And we see it here one more time. The Lord is all capitalized. While they are silent, the Lord is so loud. The Lord is so strong. While they are humble, the Lord is so proud and mighty and over and sovereign over everything. While they're waiting, the Lord is doing what? Working. Working. You know, so you can today, you and I can choose to capitalize God while we are silent, or we can silent God while we try to capitalize ourselves. This is big. I really hope, and I'm now that I'm not joking anymore, I really hope that image of the, you know, the waiting between the sets can really give you that, because that's very important for us to learn. There are moments where I can just sit still and wait on God. Amen.
Amen. Great. So then starting in verse 15, we see Joshua telling the people what's about to happen on the seventh day. They're going to, you know, go around the city. And it says, then on the seventh day, they got up at dawn, they marched around the city, and then he told them to shout. It was then that they were told to shout. And he mentions Rahab here three times. We hear mention of Rahab three times. And for those of us who might not remember the story of Rahab, remember Rahab, we've talked about her even before we discussed the battles, right? She's the mother of Boaz. She hid the spies when the two spies went to spy out the land. This is the second time in Israel's history that this happens. When they went to go spy out the land, she hid them. And when she found out what the plan was, what God's plan was, that they were going to come in and take the land, they told her ahead of time, she hid them and she asked them, would you spare me and my family? And they said to her, yes, we will. And this is how we're going to do it. Does anybody remember? You put a scarlet cloth, a red cloth over the window. Here is Jesus coming to us again. Remember, we said the entire Bible is really, is really about Jesus. You can see him written in every piece, in every book of the Bible. And here's our moment in this instance where we see him, because Joshua tells his soldiers, he says, when you get in there, after the wall falls, when you get in there, go look for her. Go look for that cloth. Go look for where the blood has been covered over this family, and go get them and bring them. And so it gives me just goosebumps to think of like the image of them going and finding this. It is really the picture of Jesus in this moment for us, covering over his people in the middle of like really a chaotic moment.
But here it says, on the seventh day, they marched seven times. So you can imagine marching seven times around the city that's the size of about 7 to 8 football fields. It's going to be exhausting, right? And at that exhausting, that very, very exhausting moment, that very, very exhausting moment, this is when they're supposed to shout. This is when they're supposed to praise. This is when they're supposed to reap the fruit of their obedience to God. This is the moment where everything makes sense. Have you ever watched a football game or a basketball game when the players are completely spent at the end of the game, or a soccer game, they're completely spent, but once that whistle blows and then they win the game, somehow they find the energy to celebrate and to jump around and to, like, you know, do all these crazy things, that there is a new level of energy that comes from shouting and celebrating and knowing that we just won the World Cup, mm-hmm. or we just won the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals, whatever it is. We just won, and there is new energy. This was not an easy task to go seven times in one day. And the previous days, every day, they would go, they would walk, and they would come home. And the wives or the kids, huh, what happened? Did they do anything? Did you kill anyone? Did you see anything? No, all doors are shut. The walls are as high as it can be. Things as silent as they can be. Things as boring even as they can be. You know what? Things can be even more as depressing as they can be. We're doing the same things over and over for 6 days. Go find the number 6 in the Bible and see what that's a reference to. You know, and then the seventh day,
what is the reference?
Weak of man, weakness and strength, it depends, but okay. it's a whole Bible study.
Okay.
Yeah. So go back and then the seventh day, they're going to march again 7 times. That's exhausting. But you know what? Once you hear those trumpets of celebration, of freedom, of that deliverance, you will see this is that final whistle. Once you hear that final whistle, we'll see all the soldiers shouting and praising and going in to take what God has given them. Shouting after 7 times of circling around the city was done. They were asked to do. It was time to celebrate God's faithfulness, that your faith and obedience walked to. God has already a blessing for you. God already has something for you. Your faith and your obedience can walk you to go grab what God has already given you. The city is a picture of the world. You know, the world that's going to fall, whether we like it or not. The world that's going to be destroyed, whether we like it or not. And as soon as these praises were lifted, as soon as the obedience, as soon as the picture was done, all the walls were fallen, every single one of them. No need to look for alternative doors, no need to look for alternative places to come in, because all the doors, all the walls will be fallen, except one little place, the place of Rahab, mm-hmm. the place that had that red What's it called? Red
scarlet cloth.
The scarlet cloth. That's the only place that will be standing. The whole world will be destroyed. The only thing that will be standing is the place that has the cross. The church will be protected. The church will be with Jesus. The church will be taken care of when everything goes into chaos. Today, I have great news for you. I really have great news for you and great news for myself. The walls will fall. The walls will fall. I know you've been waiting for it. I know you've been running around the walls. I know you've been circling around. I know you're exhausted. I know you're exhausted. So am I. I'm exhausted. But you know what? I know God's promises when he said, and he is faithful to keep his promises, that when he said that, bless those who wait patiently, you know, and I know it's going to fall. I know that he's faithful. I know that he will finish whatever he started.
Joshua also commands the people in 19, and then we see it actually happen in verse 24, about the articles of gold and silver and bronze and iron that they're not to destroy when they go into Jericho.
Should we go through that today or finish here to discuss this? Because that's a big...
Yeah, I mean, we...
What do you guys think? Should we end here so we can discuss these or just finish the whole chapter? I feel like we might not...
we're not going to
do it. Yeah, because we can't do the rest of it in like 3, 4, 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
But the walls fell. So
yeah,
fell. Yeah, we got to the walls, you know.
Now let's figure out what happens when we get...
We promised that the walls are going to fall today. So the walls did fall. So we kept to that point.
I will say this one thing and we'll close with this. You know, we talked about last week sort of what are those walls like? What are they in reference to in our life? And really, I mean, walls are really a picture of something that inhibits us from a promise that God has for us, that are in the way of what God has for you in your life. And so last week we encouraged you to kind of spend some time and ask the Lord what those walls are, what those things are. You know, whether it's things that have happened to you, whether it's things that maybe you've done and you're... there's this consequence that's really just kind of keeping you from a promise that God has. I don't know what it is, and I can't tell you what it is. Really, only the Holy Spirit can. But whatever, there are certainly walls in all of our lives. And God is saying here that he's ready to take these walls on. Okay. That's what, you know, if we can, you know, put a big ribbon around this whole thing, it is that God wants these walls torn down in your life and in my life, and wants to be able to see us reach a promise that he has for us. So with that, let's open it up for comments, questions. Next week we'll see what happens once they get into the city after those walls came down. Yes, Anna.
How do you know it's Anna? Oh,
and she has a hand.
Hi, everyone. Yes, hi. I do have a question. Do we know the significance of why God had them go 7 times with the 7 priests and 7 horns? I mean, why not 4, 3? Why 7? Do we know why?
Well, what is the number 7? What is the number 7 reference to in the Bible?
Why don't you tell us?
Everyone knows the number of completion. It's the number of perfection. Pastor Ali can help me if I'm wording this. It's the number of completion. Or actually heaven, I should say heavenly or godly completion or godly perfection. So what the number 7 is. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, because that came to mind actually when I was kind of like questioning this in my head. But so how does that tie to what was going on here? Like, does that mean that God was bringing all this closure, I mean, with the people or his people coming out of the captivity and so forth to completion? In other words, okay, this is where what we need to do now, and that's how are we moving forward? That's where I'm trying to tie this event to kind of like the completion event or significance.
To me, I believe, and Pastor Al can help us with that as well. To me, is God wants to see where their heart is, to see if their heart is completely trusting in Him and His plan, and their obedience is complete. This was not an easy task, Anna, or to ask for. You know, just as any sometimes the task that God asks for you or me or for the rest of us to do, God wants to see really if His work in this area is done or not yet. Is God's work in the area of trusting Him to be walking around, as we said, without a shield, without maybe a purpose? Like, what are we doing? We're just walking. That's not how war works. But God wants to see, are we, every step we take, and we're looking around, as Pastor Mike, are we looking for different routes? Are we looking for different doors? Or are we just waiting on Him? Am I worried that someone is going to start hitting me with their arrows, or am I just trusting in Him? What am I feeling while I'm doing this? Is God's work done in my life complete or not yet? There's a verse, Sabrianship, Taskeya, or Taskeya, Rajet, you know what that is?
Romans, right? Romans chapter 5, actually.
Yeah.
Patience produces hope.
I think it's in James. The one that says, like, do not interrupt patience because it's doing its perfect work.
Its perfect work, that's correct. Yes.
Yeah. And that, actually, that perfect word is in another way, it's called its complete work in you. Mm-hmm. So, Pastor Al, can you help us with that question? I'm not sure if I...
Yeah. What I see coming out of this text is the Lord highlights the number 6 and then the number 7. He's saying to them, 6 days you walk around one time, and then on the seventh day you're marching 7 times. So the 6th is my role. That's as far as I can go, but it's always going to be limited, and it's always going to be at the human level. Mm-hmm. 7 is what God can do, and what He does is always perfect and always complete. So I have a role to play in my being obedient, and then God does what I can never do. He brings down walls. He brings down the barriers. He brings down everything that's a hindrance between first me and Him, and then between me and other people, as they were alluding to the book that they're reading earlier about vertical. When the vertical is right, everything to cross is also right. So that's the way that I see it. I'm not sure if that answers your question or comes close.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Assam, when you were talking about this, the 6, I was thinking about the 6,000 years that man has now been in existence, and we are on the verge of the next millennia, if you will. And so this is the perfect time when the wall or the world is going to crumble down, and only a church will be preserved. In other words, we're ready for the rapture. In other words,
Jesus is coming soon. We're going to the last seconds.
Can't wait. No. So maybe here's a question that we can bring up. If those walls are types or symbols of struggles that we may go through, the barriers that we have, and like doubt, for example, or discouragement or despair, things along those lines, what is it for us to do when we take a look at this text and go, okay, how can I apply this now to the doubts that I am dealing with, or the discouragement that I'm dealing with, or sometimes the disparity that I'm left with? How do I tackle life from that perspective based on what the scripture is teaching me?
That's a great question, and I think a great moment for us to sort of summarize maybe what we've read through in the last couple of weeks. So why doesn't everyone just throw out some words that have stood out to you, things that we can do specifically from last week and this week that we talked about that are evident in the text?
I would say that the evidence is just pure obedience, you know, and go for it 100%, no matter what's going on, because all depends how the people that were going through, so they felt like this is it, this is the last thing that we have to do. What else we have to do? Just to obey. There's no more choice. There's no other choice. Just to follow. And Joshua as a leader and the people as a followers just do what God was intended to do, you know, to conquer the cities of Jericho and then keep going with the rest, with the promised land.
Yeah. So obedience.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's a good one. It's been a theme throughout this. These passages. What else?
Praise would be praise. When they shouted, they shouted their praise, and that is our way to conquer.
Yes, yes. So an attitude of praise in the midst mm-hmm. of that battle. Yep.
For me, something that's been, you know, just seek revelation. Seek a word from God. Because sometimes we are faced with these high walls and we don't know what to do. So before obedience, before praise, I just need to know what to do. You know, I need a plan from God. And that's not going to happen while I'm distracted all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's going to need me to quiet myself, be on my knees, desperate and really seeking mm-hmm. God to tell me what's the next step.
Yeah.
And he's always there. I know he's going to always be there, you know. But sometimes I just don't give him enough time to speak.
Yeah.
That comes alongside of what you were saying earlier, Sam, about us being still before him. Because my heart can't be still if I don't trust in his words and I don't trust in his promises. I think those go hand in hand.
Mm. Yeah. And you can't hear when you're not still, right? It's very hard to hear. Try to have a conversation with someone when your kids have the TV on. Impossible. It's very difficult. I've tried. So yeah, there is something to be said about just us spending time listening and being in stillness. There's something for me that really stood out in the text, and we haven't referenced it yet, but it's coming next week, is there was a reliance on one another. In that moment, as they were walking around the city, as they were trusting in what Joshua had said, as they were coming back to the camp, and there was a reliance on each other. And so that showed me there wasn't just one person. It wasn't just Joshua that walked around that wall. You know what I mean? God could have done that. He told Joshua to do it. Why? It's not like they wasn't just them, you know. But there was strength in those numbers. And so that tells me that it's very important to have a relationship around us that help us through those times of battle.
I think Anna had something to say.
Yeah, I think the word that does come to me as well is trust. Mm-hmm. Trust in him. And as the walls come down, as probably these people were thinking, why are we going around the wall and how is, you know, this seems silly. I think to me in my life, it's basically that, like just trust in God. And I've been thinking about this too, because in my heart, I know I'm going to be healed of what I'm going through. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I just know it in my heart that I will. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, to me, giving me hope and knowing that I don't understand how that's going to happen. I just know that God heals. And sometimes he doesn't, but, you know, but I am trusting that he will. And again, it's just having that trust that however it's going to happen or however my life is going to, you know, I'm going to be able to just be able to deal with what I'm dealing with in a different aspect, just trusting him. Like I said, I do have this feeling like he's going to heal me. Mm. He is going to heal me. And I just have to keep my eyes on him. And like I said, the word trust comes, you know, up a lot. And as we're doing the studies, I think that's where I'm leaning more to just trust God. You know, I don't have to know how. I don't know to need to the specifics. I just need to trust.
Amen. That's good. Good, Emma.
And also, we're not running away from the wall. Like, the wall is there. God sees it. And we can see it. No one's running away from it. No one's saying, I don't see a wall. No, it's very evident. When doubt is there or discouragement is there, it's very evident. There's no reason to hide from it or ignore it or avoid it. We can just tackle it for where it is and how it is, and then walk in that obedience and walk in that, what you said, seeking the revelation first and then sitting in silence. All of that comes together in play because it's all connected. Mm-hmm. But it's acknowledging it. Lord, here's what I'm really grappling with right now.
Yeah. That's very good. Mm-hmm. You know, Joshua had communication with God. You know, Joshua had communication with God. Not everyone here, not all of us, and not all of us definitely at all the time where we can have that very loud and clear communication with God. Maybe sometimes we need to seek help from one another. You know, say, I'm struggling with this. And maybe God's voice will come to me mm-hmm. through my wife, through my pastor, through my brother or sister, you know, through a message that I hear. Maybe I can have a conversation with someone, say, hey, I have these walls. You know, I have these fears. I have these worries. I have these things that are keeping me up at night. I have these things that I cannot cross. You know, I need a word. I need a word. I've been trying to pray. I've been trying to fight, but it seems like things are silent. And maybe, and just maybe, this is the first step of humility that I need to take, you know, to humble myself before my brother or sister, before, you know, the people of God around me to say, I need this help. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You know, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. Yeah. We need to rely and, you know, and ask for help from one another.
There was something really encouraging that Anna was just saying. She says, I know God is going to heal. I don't know how. I don't know when, but I know he's going to. And again, the Israelites must have been asking, okay, how are these walls coming down? Like, what exactly is going to happen? I don't know. I don't understand. And that's fine. We're not expected to fully understand how things are going to work out. We just need to know that since the walls came down for them, walls are coming down for us as well.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good. I was thinking in the word courage, sometimes in my life, I ask God for courage because you don't know what is going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
Like, you know, these people walking around the walls, they needed courage too.
Yeah. 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 They didn't know what was about to come at them, and they were ill prepared. Those horns weren't going to ward off many arrows if that's what was coming at them. So yes, courage. Well, and that's exactly what the Lord said to Joshua right in the beginning. Remember, Joshua 1, he said, be strong and courageous. Be courageous, Joshua. I mean, he was over and over. Do not be afraid. Be courageous.
Another thought that came to mind was how illogical God is in some of the things that he asks us to do. Like when you think of this story and then think of Noah's story as well. Like it never rained, but yet he's asking him to build this boat and people are coming and mocking and, you know, and he was determined to walk in obedience no matter how silly it looked. And sometimes we face situations like that. Am I willing to be illogical or, you know, to walk in obedience? You know, here's the word again, to walk in obedience with God no matter how it seems silly to other people, you know, and true that we need that courage to stand in faith believing what God said, no matter what, how other people say it. And that we need, truly, we do need boldness and we need the courage to be who God says us to be and to do things, no matter how silly or how awkward or how weird it seems for others to be, you know, in other people's eyes.
Right.
I agree with that. Like, for me in my daily struggle, I'm constantly praying for strength to remain humble and, you know, try to leave things in God's hands. And I know that he's got a plan for all of us. And one of the things that I hear so much, almost daily, is, well, Maria can handle it. Maria's tough. Maria can do this. You know, Maria's that. I hear this from my husband. I hear it from my neighbors. And I'm thinking, you know, I stay quiet because Maria doesn't want to handle that. Maria wants to leave it in God's hands and let him handle it, you know.
Yeah.
Today, I found myself walking my boy. I have a Rottweiler. He's 175 pounds, the love of my life. Mm. And he looks really intimidating, but he's a sweetheart. So I'm walking him down the street. And I see my neighbor walking towards me. I couldn't see his face, but I can tell who he is by his walk. And then he waved, and I said, oh, hi, how are you? He's like, fine. He's like, your boy intimidates me. I said, I know, that's why I walk him. So somebody right behind him said something negative, and I just kind of looked at him, smiled, and kept going. And my daughter, who was with me, she's like, really, you're just going to let that guy say that? I said it's got nothing to do with me, it's within him. I said God will handle it, don't worry about it. And at the moment I said that, I mean, I felt so like, ha, you know, like so at peace. And she just looked at me and she's like, well, my old mom would have unleashed on him. I said, yes, that's not who I am anymore. I said, I'm leaving it in God's hands. He'll handle it. So as we're walking further up, she turns back and she's like, oh my God, man, that guy just fell. I said, I told you, God would handle it. So yeah, I just thought I'd share that with you. My boy, my dog, anytime he senses something, he automatically stops and he's ready to attack. But he just looked at him and she looked at me and like, well, but yeah, the moment she saw him fall, she's like, oh my God, mom, that guy just fell. She's like, he did handle it. But so one of my things is trusting that God's going to handle whatever it is, you know, and I'm always praying for that strength to remain humble and trust that it's getting taken care of. And I think that's one of my hardest things as moving forward as a godly Christian. And I struggle with that every day, but my struggle is a lot easier than it was 2-3 years ago.
Praise God. That's great, Maria. Thank you so much for that. Okay, everyone. Well, it's been a wonderful study. Looking forward to next week. We will finish up Jericho next week, we promise. And so if someone will pray for us, let's see, Pastor Edwin, pray for us.
All right. People, pray. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your guidance, Lord, and for giving us this time to partake your word. As you implanted in our hearts, Lord, I ask you to keep giving us the strength, giving us more of your faith, more of your peace, to keep us humble, Lord, and be obedient to your word, and reveal to us, Lord, what it is for us to do in this path of our lives that we're going through. Bless us, Lord, and give us, I know you give us the best, because you are a provider. You are in charge of every one of us. We just have to trust that you're a faithful, faithful Father, Lord. Mm-hmm. For all of that, Lord, I give you all the praise and all the glory. And thank you for this meeting, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you all. Have a wonderful
night. Thank you. Good
night. Bye, Raymond.
Good night.
Night.
Good night, everybody.